What the fuck is going on, degenerates? Happy Turkey Day, obviously. We love you guys. We hope you're having a great time. You know, Turkey Day is all about football, and we're going to give you your Thursday preview. But first, we got some injury report, and for that, I need help from our friends, the Dynasty Degenerate, Mr. Steven Sampson, and the DFS Degenerate, the Commissioner himself, Mr. Eric DeFusco. How you doing tonight, boys?
Good, Brian. What's up, degenerates? Get ready for your Week 12 recap. Unless you had Jonathan Taylor or Austin Eckler, this week sucked.
How you guys doing? I had neither of them, and I think this is the best week I've had in the Degenerates League.
Picked
160
guys.
Points and counting.
Yeah. So the Degenerates League, he had Jonathan Taylor and Davante Adams. Everybody else stunk, including Dak, who went out there and laid an egg against what Eric once called the quarterback points funnel of Kansas City. And I was like, man, if I get a game out of Alice Collins, I'm right back in this thing. Less than 4 points. Yeah. Fucking sucked. And that was a wrap. The second I saw Collins, I was like, that's a wrap. I'm done. I am done. Stick a fork in me.
And Deontay Johnson had a 30-point game close.
Yeah. Deontay Johnson went out and did well. So.
And I think I'm going to win in the Degenerates League this week, but.
I think you're going to defeat top dog himself, Mr. Adisa.
That looks like. Should, yeah. Do you realize how many quarterbacks had like 11 points or less last week?
Oh, it was brutal. Yeah, it was a brutal quarterback landscape for sure.
It was just like, I mean, like Wentz and, let's see, Wentz, Carr, Burrow, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Fields, and Matt Ryan. All under 10 points. I forgot Baker, but everybody forgets Baker.
As they should.
But yeah, so, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was bad. So, I mean, let's get right into the injury report. I don't see any reason to put it off. So let's see who's fucked and who's not.
The injury report.
So first off, Chris Carson's been out for a while, which, like I said, is why I had a high hope for Alice Collins. He's done a pretty decent job in Chris Carson's absence. Ended up going to IR. He's having a season-ending neck surgery. He'll be back next season. Hopefully he's okay. But this has been the story of Chris Carson. This is why we all said, like, we're really apprehensive to draft Chris Carson, because when he's on the field, he's great. And it's only a matter of time till he's not on the field. So I mean, you know, obviously there's nothing you can do about this. Either you own Alice Collins or you don't. But what is your interest? I mean, obviously speculating, you know, it's a long time away, but what is your interest in Chris Carson going forward next year or in Dynasty? You know what? I'll ask Eric, what is your interest next year? And Steven, I'll ask you what your interest is in Dynasty. So, Eric, why don't you take it first?
So you want to know my interest in Chris Carson?
Yes, sir.
Redraft?
Yes, sir. The draft is up there. You're in the third, fourth round, and you need a running back. No. Are you taking Chris Carson?
No. I'm done. I kind of liked his ADP this year where it was falling. And he's one of them. Like, I'm kind of lucky I didn't take any shares of him because I never really pounced on him. And, like, he can't stay on the field, man. And he's got this, I think it's like a sciatica nerve in his neck or something. He's got some that neck injuries. That's like one injury I hear and I'm like, ooh, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it just doesn't sound like something that you can just fucking brush off and recover from. Like, neck injuries can be fucking serious. I mean,
well, that's the thing.
He's older. I don't know, man. I don't know what Seattle's going to look like next year. I don't know. I honestly, I don't know. Seattle's kind of a conundrum because, like, what is Russell still going to be there? Russell? obviously, they got, you know, pretty good receiving core, DK, Lockett.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what to expect of that team. I know that team fucking blows this year. and they're using like a four-headed running back committee. So like, I want absolutely nothing to do with any of them. No, Travis Homer, DJ Dallas, Alex Collins, fucking Rashad Penny. Like, I want nothing to do with those running backs at all.
Yeah, Penny won't be there.
As far as Chris Carson goes, I can't see myself, unless he has a very depressed ADP, like fifth round. I can't see myself
buying him. You would take him in the fifth round?
Maybe that late as an RB2, if I want wide receiver heavy.
Yeah,
I think he's a starter.
I just can't. Maybe. I can't bring myself to draft him in the first, let's say, 8 rounds. Like, how long? How long? And like you said, the neck injury, it scares me, dude. Like, if he tore his ACL, I'd be fine with it. Like, all right, fine, man. See you next year. It happens. We all do it. But neck injury, that scares me. And like you said, that could be a permanent thing, and it could be. Well, re-agitated and re-injured.
It is a permanent thing. He's getting disc fusion surgery. So they're going to fuse two of the vertebrae together in his neck, which is going to limit his, you know, mobility as far as turning his neck from side to side. He gets hit the wrong way, he's out again. He's 27 years old. He'll be 28 next year before the season starts. Redraft, to me, he's untouchable. Dynasty, if I have him, I'm selling him. Just whatever I can get, magic beans, a fucking kicker. I don't care. I'm out on Chris Carson.
Fucking Ed Cleric just straight up dropped him.
Yeah.
listen, he said, fuck it, I'm done with him.
I don't blame him. I think he has zero value or very little value because I don't know if he actually comes back and plays next year. Nor do I want him on my team if he does, because, you know, there's probably somebody better I can take. I don't believe Rashad Penny will be there next year. So as far as dynasty, I would be interested in getting Travis Homer and DJ Dallas just as pieces to hold if I don't have Alex Collins.
I
think they're going to draft somebody.
Yes, I was about to say that from a dynasty perspective. I would not be shocked to see Seattle go after one of these RBs coming out.
There's Isaiah a lot Spiller, of them, too.
Breece Hall, CJ Verdell, or something. Like these. There's some pretty good running backs coming out in this class. And I think Seattle's going to be one of those teams that's going to be live to draft one in the second round, potentially. If they even have a second-round pick, I don't even know off the top of my head. They're one of them teams. They seem like to trade picks.
So, but that's the thing, too, is, you know, running backs.
I know that.
Yeah, running backs. It's not like you need a first. Like, they go later. You know, I mean, Alvin Kamara was a third-round pick. You can go on down the line. It happens over and over. But, you know, you can grab somebody later that's adequate, and that's all they're looking for is adequate. You know, they don't need Zeke Elliott. They have Russ Wilson. Like, they just need somebody that can take the carries and run the ball and do it efficiently. And, you know, you can find those guys fucking anywhere, you know? I mean, if they had fucking Ramondre Stevenson, they'd probably be okay. You know, like, it's not the end of the world. Like you said, I figured for them to go looking in the draft. So I'm probably not excited about owning any of those guys in Dynasty.
Most of them are on waivers, so you can pick them up for free.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the room to stash one, it can't hurt. Yeah. No, but I'm not going out of my way for them. Yeah.
No, I'm not spending up for them. You know what I mean? If anything, I might throw a fifth round pick out, but. Most of them you can pick up on waivers still. So I'd be trying to grab them just to hold and see what happens.
So Adam Trautman had an MCL sprain. He's on the IR, up and coming tight end. Hasn't really hit yet, so it's probably not hurting anybody.
He had a good week, week 10. Week 11. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah. But, he's been pretty bad this
subpar
year.
Subpar.
Yeah.
Before that, yeah. He finally had a good game and got hurt.
Yeah, just as you were getting your hopes up, he's like, hold your horses, buddy. but yeah, I mean, you know, he was on the upswing for sure. And he was just looking like maybe he was the guy that you thought he could turn into. And all of a sudden he's hurt and he's gone. So Dynasty, he's an IR stint, stash and hold. Obviously, redraft, he's probably droppable. Jordan Howard, knee sprain. 1 to 2 weeks. If you're starting Jordan Howard, you're probably pretty off spot, so hold on to him. So I want to ask you guys about AJ Brown, who hurt his chest But the x-rays were negative, which is obviously good. He's questionable for Sunday. If he doesn't play, do you guys think there's a sleeper wide receiver on the Tennessee Titans? I mean, they've been playing like fucking garbage.
I do. Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah, I'm not playing this game with the Titans. Like, no. They're going to potentially have no Julio, no Derrick Henry, no A.J. Brown. I'm all set, dude.
Yeah.
You can fuck with these fucking Josh Reynolds and these Marcus Johnsons, and I think he's hurt.
He is.
Nick Ikea, whatever the hell his name is. That dude. Yeah. I'm done. Yeah, I'll pass.
It's, yeah, I mean, it was really more of a,
like, I'm
yeah. It was really more of a DFS thing than anyone than anything else. Yeah,
no,
I mean,
no. Even if A.J. Brown plays, he's going to be the one that they double cover because they have nobody else to throw to. So, you know, take him out. It's still going to be irrelevant for Tennessee.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody on that offense that's even worth starting without.
Is this going to be A.J. Brown's career where it's just like, he just seems like he's constantly banged up every year. Like, knee injury, chest injury, hamstring, whatever. It's like,
I mean, hopefully not. I mean, up until now, he hasn't missed a significant amount of time.
He hasn't, but he's always on the injury report. Yeah. I owned him last year. He's always on the injury report.
No, for sure. And it's
like,
you know,
it's just kind of like, I hate guys like that in a way. I get it's a physical game and like you're going to get hurt, but it's just like, it's like kind of an uneasy feeling. Like, now I got to navigate this whole week because I own him in Pilgrim. Like, what the fuck? Is he going to play or not? Because if he's not going to play, I'm fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, you know, you got guys like him that are on the injury report every single week. And then you have guys like Davante Adams who, you know, has missed like two games in the last like 3 years. You know, you never hear a word about him. And it's like, kind of makes it a no-brainer, you know? And A.J. Brown's kind of in that class, you know, the elite wide receivers, you know. Speaking of teams with no options, let's move on down to them boys, the Cowboys. We got CeeDee Lamb, who suffered a concussion this week against Kansas City. He is doubtful for Thursday. I would think he would not be able to clear protocol by Thursday, but you never know. I have seen it happen that fast, but I would be a lot more optimistic if the game was Sunday.
Sunday, they would be in much better shape. Thursday, I'm going to say there's like a 95% chance he doesn't play.
Yeah. We also have Amari Cooper, who is on the COVID list.
Because I think he is
100% out.
Yeah, he needs two tests in 48 hours, and he did not get a negative test today, so he's out.
And he's unvaccinated, so he had to stay out.
Oh, so he's 72. Yeah.
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 Well, but today's Monday. Couldn't he get a negative
test? No, because it hasn't been 10
Tuesday,
days.
Tuesday, Wednesday,
he's
and Thursday?
Unvaxxed. He's unvaxxed.
He has to, I think it's a minimum of 10 days. And it literally, I think the 10th day is Thursday.
Yeah. And then it's got to be 72 hours for unvaxxed players.
They said it last week. Actually, I think it was Saturday. They were like, "There's because he's unvaccinated, he has no chance of playing Thursday because he's not going to be, he won't, he's still within the 10 days.
Yep.
I guess I'm not understanding the rules.
So if you're vaccinated, you just need two negative tests within 48 hours. If you're unvaxxed, it's a minimum of 10 days out and you have to have three negative tests within 72 hours.
Yeah, but.
Because he was positive on Thursday. He's not going to make the 10-day. He won't be inside the 10-day window.
Thursday would be day 7.
Thursday's day 7.
I've never heard the 10-day minimum. I don't know. There's so many fucking caveats to that bullshit.
Yeah. All the unvaxxed players, if they test positive, are out for a minimum of 10 days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it definitely wasn't that way last year, was it?
Last year was different because they were out for...
They were out for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. If you were positive, you were out for 2 weeks.
Last season, so.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so no Amari Cooper then. He's not even doubtful. He's out. We also have an injury to Cowboys pride, which was severely damaged against Kansas City. They're considered week to week, and the playoffs look doubtful. I mean, obviously, they should make the playoffs. But, dude, the number one seed was right in their fucking hands, dude. Green Bay dropped that game to Minnesota. Like, what are they doing? You can't go out there and score points against fucking Kansas City?
Yeah.
That defense is a sieve. And, dude, Dak looked fucking bad. Like, I don't know, man. I didn't want it. Obviously, we'll get to the preview in the preview. I was about to ask, and I'm not going to.
They didn't want it. They just... I think they were in the red zone like 5-6 times. They got 3 field goals. Yeah. How's that? Like, how?
Hey, in the words of one of my childhood heroes, Teddy Bruschi, they don't got it.
Well, they're fucking battling injuries like crazy. They're starting to rack up.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the other thing. I mean, I think their left tackle's still out.
Tyron Smith's out. Both their best edge rushers are out. And now they're ugly.
Two star wide receivers. Zeke got hurt in that game too, didn't he?
Zeke is not even a guarantee to play either. It looks like he's going to play, but he's not 100%.
Oh, he wasn't on my injury report, but I remember seeing the alert now that he left the game and Pollard took over.
He came back, but they said he'll be limited throughout practice, but he'll probably play.
It's a knee. Now they're saying knee, but in the report that I saw during the game, it was an ankle, so I don't fucking know. But he did come back in and play, so
yeah,
should play Thursday,
which is the good thing. We also have Michael Carter, who was just starting to fucking produce a little bit, and he gets hurt like halfway through the fucking game, leaves you stranded. Now they're saying that he's going to be out 1 to 2 weeks with a low ankle sprain. At least it's low and not high. Any interest in Ty Johnson?
Pending their matchups, possibly.
They're playing Houston this week.
Playing Houston? Yeah, in a pinch. I mean, if you're struggling,
you might not have a choice.
He's not a horrible choice. Like, he's the only back I'd play. I have no interest in Tevin Coleman. I'll tell you that much. If he's even playing, I don't even know if he's been. I think he's back. I don't think
so. Tevin Coleman got more involved in the second half, and Ty Johnson and Tevin Coleman both played exactly 28% of the snaps.
I still think I'd rather roll with Ty.
I would too. I think he's a better goal line back, and I think he is steadier. Steven, your thoughts?
I would agree. I think of the Jets backfield, Ty's the one I would want to take the chance on.
Understood.
Flacco is still a quarterback, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Next, sadly, we have one of my shining stars, Mr. Jamal Agnew, who was getting better every week, was starting to show exactly what I was talking about, and maybe a quarter into the game, maybe halfway through the second, he gets hurt and doesn't come back, and now he's out for the rest of the season. So, cheaper than ever in Dynasty. Just a thought. I would definitely be going out there and looking for him for sure. Still. But not going to be any help to you in redraft. He's droppable. Eric, what are your thoughts on picking up or trying to trade on the cheap for Jamal Agnew right now in Dynasty?
Did he play at LSU? I'm targeting LSU wide receivers.
He went to San Diego.
Odell Beckham, I'm coming, baby. Jarvis Landry, welcome to the team. If you can get him on the cheap, like, I'm talking cheap, like, third round pick, maybe?
I figure he's got to be owned. You have to trade for him.
Yeah. Yeah, third is as high as I would go.
Yeah, I'm not giving a second for a guy that was a fucking defensive back last year. Like,
yeah.
He's definitely looked like they're trying creative ways to use him, and they had like a plan for him. But a lot of this is on Urban Meyer too. Like, is he a one and done coach? Like,
I hope so.
If he's a one and done coach, Jamal Agnew could be fucking cut. For all we know, the next new regime could come in and look and be like, we don't need this guy.
So I mean, I think that's possible, but I don't think he just fades into nothing. He's shown too much promise.
He does. He's great in the return game, so he doesn't disappear, regardless of who the coach is.
Coaches are weird, man.
No, that's true. But he would get picked up by somebody.
I mean, look what they did to James Robinson. He looked at him and said, we're taking ETN.
Yeah, but that's Urban Meyer. You know?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The next coach could do the same thing with Jamal Agnew. You don't think it's possible?
No, I'm not saying they couldn't draft a wide receiver. I'm just saying that I think Jamal Agnew is worth hanging on to and seeing, especially where he's so cheap. You know, James Robinson was expensive at the end of last year. He would have been very expensive. He was a top five running back. And then they went out and traded for ET, and that kind of ruined everything. And we're still scratching our heads trying to figure out why, because ET gets hurt. They give the ball to James Robinson, and he fucking rocks. So, like, it looks dumber than fucking ever. But I think Urban Meyer is a fucking moron. But if the next coach comes in, I'm actually more excited for Jamal Agnew, because maybe he's not a fucking idiot. There's a chance, probably not much of one. It's still Jacksonville, but there's a chance the next coach isn't a fucking idiot. Steven, what are your thoughts?
I think he's worth trying to grab and hold. Like I said, I wouldn't pay more than a third. I'd try to pay a fourth just to grab him and hold on to him.
Yeah. Yeah, as much as I love Jamal Agnew, it'd be really tough for me to pull the trigger on a second round pick. Unless I knew it was really late or something, maybe I would start considering it. But more likely than not, third is the highest I would go. But I think I would probably give up a third without hesitation, more or less, depending on my situation. But anyways, so we got Justin Fields, another team is playing Thursday. And he has some bruised ribs. Doubtful for the game. I believe the last report I read said that they are expecting Andy Dalton to start. So yep. Fields probably won't be in. Fire up your Mooney, boys.
If he plays, fire up your Allen Robinson.
You know? Maybe. I don't know. It'd be really tough for me to pull the trigger on Allen Robinson right now, dude. He's a wide receiver 66.
He is, but he played better with Dalton.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, if he plays, because he's on the report too, so, and he may not play, because from what I've seen, he's already doubtful.
Oh, I don't see him on the, oh, there he is. Allen Robinson, hamstring, no practice Monday, doubtful for Thursday. Needs to practice in some fashion Tuesday and Wednesday to play Thursday. Why is that?
If he doesn't get on the field, like if he doesn't get on the practice field, he's not going to play.
Says who?
Just the way it trends usually.
Yeah, if he can't get out and even just be a limited participant in practice, that he's not going to play.
When's their last day of practice? Probably tomorrow, right?
Wednesday.
They practice Wednesday? Yeah. The Thursday games?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, today's
Wednesday will be like a walkthrough.
Tuesday was the last.
It's not.
Day.
It's like Tuesday will be the last practice. Real practice. Wednesday will be a walkthrough. But if he can't even do the walkthrough, he's not playing Thursday.
Yeah, more. If he doesn't log a limited practice tomorrow where they're actually in pads, that's probably not. He's probably not playing.
Lamar Jackson missed Sunday with illness. It was non-COVID related. I would have to think that whatever is ailing him will be cleared up by Sunday. I mean, a week and a half with an illness so severe that you can't run, I would think he'd be hospitalized by now. You know, but like,
I know Sunday they had him on IVs to keep him hydrated.
What did he get, the flu or something?
He get the poops.
I think he had the fucking poops.
Well, no, I read a report from
they said
Twitter
it was not the flu.
Well, no. It was something that was with his chest. He couldn't breathe. He had very bad chest congestion, and they thought it might have turned into an infection.
Yeah.
So something respiratory related. I thought it was the shits, too. I thought he got the bug, stomach bug. But
let me see.
Says Lamar Jackson is feeling better on Monday. It's the latest update.
He should be back.
Yeah. I would think. Like I said, like, dude, he either is going to play Sunday or he's going to go to the hospital. There's no way there's anything in between. Like, he just doesn't feel good and just feels so sick for a week and a half he can't fucking move. Like, he's going to have to either go to the hospital and get it checked out or he's going to play. So I would think he would play. We'll see. Like you said, if there's some sort of respiratory infection, obviously that's a whole different ballgame. Probably just require hospitalization, but
it's more here. Just keep track whether he practices at all this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if he practices, I think he plays. But
next we have Alvin Kamara, still hurting from that MCL sprain. He missed his second straight week. There's obviously potential he could miss this Sunday. Not an easy injury to recover from. And, you know, who is your go-to guy if Kamara is going to be out? You know, Mark Ingram has been serviceable. He's been pretty good in the couple of games he's played. And pretty soon we're going to be talking about Taysom Hill on top of that. But, you know, I don't know, man. I get the sneaking suspicion that they want to do something with Tony Jones.
I think so. It's a short week because they play Thursday against Buffalo. I think you still got to roll with Ingram, but I do think that with Tony Jones back, that they're gonna use him some.
Yeah, and like literally nothing says that, but I don't know, man. I just get this feeling in my gut like they're gonna roll him out there half the time, and he might be catching some passes, and I don't know, man. I think I might fire up Tony Jones in DFS because I mean, when I say dirt cheap, this boy will be dirt fucking cheap.
Yeah, he had last week. He had 15% of the snaps. He had 3 rushes.
Yeah, but this was they activated him from IR like literally Saturday. The day before.
Yeah. Yep.
This is actually Eric? My favorite. I actually enjoy the Thanksgiving DFS slate a lot. I kind of 3 games. It's like it's not a ton, but it's enough to kind of differentiate a little bit.
Yeah, it's different than like the one game captain showdown, yeah. But it's not the main slate with 35 fucking games going on. You know,
I like it too, but not when one team's got half their players out.
Yeah, you're not picking any Cowboys.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not true. I know Eric. I know him very well, and I can tell you right now he will be firing up some Cedric Wilson.
Probably will, and I will probably be firing up quite a bit of Tony Pollard, even with healthy Zeke.
Yeah.
Because they might have to use him a lot, dude.
They might.
No CD, no Amari.
Yeah. They might line him up there as a pass catcher, play him in the slot or something.
Like, he's too electric when he gets the ball in his hands. Like, they have to find ways to get him the ball. They have to. And I don't, that game is like, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I'm not. Look, we'll get there when we get there. Let's continue with the injury report.
So let me ask you this, and obviously not game related, but just in general, you're the resident Cowboys fan. So let me ask you the hard question: is Tony Pollard better than Zeke?
In certain areas, I think he is, but there's certain areas where Zeke is better.
I think Zeke's a better goal line back.
Yeah,
I think Tony Pollard's better in space.
He's much better in space. He's more elusive. As a complete running back, Zeke's a more complete.
I think it's interesting. I wonder if Jerry is kicking himself for giving Zeke all that money.
Time will tell. I think he can get out of it pretty cheap in a year or two. But.
Yeah. Well, yeah, after he spends millions and millions of dollars, he can get out of it pretty cheap.
It's the Jerry way.
Yeah. Spend money first, ask questions later. Which, actually, you know what? I read a report not that long ago that said that, and I always consider Jerry to be like a big spender, but they actually said that he is near the bottom of the league in real cash spending consistently over the last decade. It doesn't feel accurate, but I don't know, man. I mean, like, they crunch the numbers, not me, but back to the injury report. We got Matt Ryan, turf toe on his right foot. It happened in the second quarter, but let's face it, it didn't matter. Monitor for Sunday. If you're still playing any Atlanta Falcon, not named Cordell Patterson, I do not envy you because your team blows if you have to play anybody on that fucking shipwreck of a team.
Even Pitts is a do not start, I think, at this point.
Shaky proposition at best at this point. An update for Derrick Henry, who apparently Derrick Henry has the potential to return as early as week 17. Wait a minute. So this update I'm reading says early January return.
Possible. Week 7. That the first week of January, which is should be week 17.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So the regular season's going to run into mid-January now?
Second week of January with the week 18, yeah.
Adisa, you are fucked, dude. You're going to have to make it to the championship without him.
Yeah. And that's if he comes back before week 17. If they're like, you know, they may wait and rest him for the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, granted, they've done really well without him, but if last week's any indicator.
Yeah. Well, they definitely need him, you know, don't get me wrong, but if they're close and they think that they can limp in, they may rest him the extra 2 weeks, but hopefully he's back for the championship. But yes. He is progressing on or ahead of schedule.
I love it. Just when you thought he was down for the count. So, guys that may return this week, we got Kareem Hunt, who is potentially back this week. We got Logan Thomas, who should be back this week, the last I read.
Yeah.
Devontae Parker could be back. And as always, we got Will Fuller. Yeah. So, that is going to wrap up the injury report.
Jared Goff is questionable Thursday
for the record. He is with the oblique.
He might play, though, it looks like.
I think he's going to play. After what happened this last week, I think he's going to play. But
what's the rush?
Yeah. He might lose his job. A guy that threw one touchdown in college.
What about Blau? They don't got Blau anymore?
I don't think so.
All right. So that will officially wrap the injury report. And now we're going to have to give you guys a little bit of breaking news.
Breaking news.
So nothing crazy this week, but we did get one report from Adam Schefter, who says that New Orleans quarterback Taysom Hill signed a unique four-deal hybrid type of contract extension that could be worth anywhere from $40 to $95 million, depending on the position he plays, and includes $22.5 million guaranteed. Taysom Hill's hybrid deal is unique and unlike any other contract because it pays him a $40 million base salary for the role that he's currently playing, and up to an additional $55 if he does become the Saints starting QB for the next four seasons. So it seems like Taysom Hill has kind of invented the gadget position. Like it's a payable position now. And granted, he is the best gadget player in the league, but holy fuck, is that a lot of fucking money for what he does?
Yeah.
I mean, $22.5 million guaranteed.
10 snaps a game.
Like, bro, that's nuts. That is, dude, Sean Payton fucking loves this dude. Like,
he's trying to incentivize him to win the starting quarterback job, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah.
Christ. Eric, I know you've had a lot of strong feelings about Taysom Hill for quite some time. So I'll start with you. What does this mean for Taysom Hill? What does this mean for the Saints? And does he eventually become their starting quarterback?
I think he will become their starting quarterback this year at some point. It's looking as if everything's pointing towards Simeon playing Thursday, I believe. It looks like.
Yes.
I don't know, man. Like, Jameis looked all right, but he wasn't like, he didn't wow me, I guess. He almost seemed like a game manager at times.
But they could have played Taysom Hill the last two games, and they chose to go with Trevor Siemian.
Which is what blows my mind, because it's like you give a guy like this all this money, and like, what does he play? Like 10, 12 snaps a game? You line up as a fullback for a couple, line up as a tight end for five or six, line up out wide for a couple. It's like, I don't know what a quarterback for a few. It's like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It kind of doesn't make sense to me the more I think about it.
Makes none.
But the contract is telling me that, like I said, it's just their way to try to incentivize Taysom Hill to work harder to become the starting quarterback. The money says so.
In my experience, if you have to pay somebody to work harder and you give them their payday, they're not going to work harder.
They don't work harder. I mean, he did sign that fucked up deal in the offseason.
Yeah, but that was like $14 million. Like, right. This is crazy money.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There has to be something else. I just, for what he's doing, I don't expect that he's going to be their long-term starter. I mean, Simeon's not great, but he's been okay. And I don't, maybe they expand Hill's role a little bit, but I think they've got issues in New Orleans at the quarterback position.
So that's kind of my
Hill's their answer.
Like Eric pointed out, you know, if you don't trust him to the point where you won't start him over Trevor Siemian, what the fuck is the point of this deal?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the other one. This offseason was a head scratcher too. So I don't really know what the fuck they're doing. But
yeah,
you know, unless they're like trying to hide some money or something like that so that they can restructure. But it's just odd.
Mm. But
especially with no Michael Thomas, you know what I mean? So it's not like you have a star receiving core to throw to. You're throwing to a bunch of young guys, and now your tight end is out too. So it just doesn't, the timing of it, everything just seems fishy.
Yeah, but they're playoff contenders right now, are they not?
I believe they are.
Yeah, they're 500, 5-5.
Who, the Saints?
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't looked too good the past couple of weeks, though.
No, they haven't, but they're still in it.
No, yeah, especially with 17 playoff. They definitely lie for that 7 spot.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Atlanta's still in it. Wrap your head around that.
That fucking Philly's back in it now, too. They're on a little winning streak.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard to say, but.
Yeah. So that's the head scratcher of the night. That's our only breaking news. And now we're going to give you a little Turkey Day preview.
Thursday night preview.
So let's start with Chicago versus Detroit. They are at Detroit. You know, assuming Andy Dalton is the starter and assuming Jared Goff plays, which the last I read they were leaning towards Goff playing, still not guaranteed, still up in the air. But let's assume it's Dalton versus Goff. What do you guys expect out of the game fantasy-wise for your relevant players? Steven?
I expect that I'm not going to eat before I watch this game because it's probably going to make me want to puke. This is such an ugly matchup. It really is, unfortunately, for your first Thanksgiving game. I actually would have been more looking forward to Fields playing. At least it would have been something to watch. But, I mean, Monty's agreed. Back. So you're going to fire up Montgomery. You're going to fire up Mooney. If Robinson plays, you're probably going to maybe take a chance on him with Dalton. Swift, and that's pretty much it, I think. Maybe Hockenson. But, I mean, Chicago's defense is still pretty decent, even though they lost Khalil Mack for the season.
Actually, I believe their defense has been reasonably dreadful, if I'm not mistaken.
Who's Chicago?
Yeah.
They're up and down. Yeah, but
They're all right. Like middle of the pack, I think.
Yeah. But, I mean, their secondary's pretty suspect, isn't it?
Yeah, but you got to have somebody that can throw the ball past the 5-yard line to have any effect on that.
Well, I mean, say what you want about Jared Goff, but he's serviceable.
He is. He just doesn't have anybody to throw to. That's more what I'm getting at, and not so much him.
I mean, yeah. I don't think I would fade away from TJ Hockenson at all.
I don't think I'd fade Hawk, no. But as far as wide receivers, I just don't know on Detroit who you would even potentially be looking at.
No, I think after a stinker. If I'm looking at my DFS lineup, if I'm looking for somebody super cheap at wide receiver, maybe I would look at Khalif Raymond, who I think has a lot of sneaky upside.
No. I don't even think he had a target last week.
He had one.
No, but that was also with the backup.
Yeah, I think so. With Goff, I think Goff is the one that likes him. So, you know, granted, I mean, it doesn't mean anything because he had one target in week 8 and he played almost 80% of the snaps with one target. So,
and like, I'm going to be honest, like, just this is a live first look at the 3-game slate for Thursday. Like, from what I'm seeing, like, I don't need to go to Detroit for cheap wide receivers. No, not one bit. And I'm perfectly fine not even looking at them. I mean, you got 3,500 for Cedric Wilson. 3,100 for them. This is gross. I'd rather play DeSean Jackson than Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, no, I'll take Khalif Raymond.
At least I know DeSean Jackson can take a 60-yard catch to the house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't plan on playing DeSean Jackson, but gun to my head, I had to pick one.
Is Jamal Williams supposed to be back?
He is back, yes.
Oh, he is back?
He is back.
Oh, he had a limited role in Week 11. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, okay.
I mean, you look at Khalif Raymond, he's 4,600, like Cole Beasley's 45, Emmanuel Sanders is 48.
I'd rather have
Fuck Manny. That, dude. I'll take either one of them.
Yeah.
Well, how much is Khalif Raymond?
4,600.
Oh, that's not that cheap.
Not really.
No.
I don't know. No, I thought he'd be like bottom of the barrel.
No, he's their number one.
He's literally sandwiched right in between Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley.
I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's still higher in price, but Raymond arguably is their one. St. Brown is
$4,200.
Oh, he is less. So Raymond is their one. It's gross.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't expect him to be that much. I thought he was kind of a sleeper, but yeah, for that price, I'm fading the fuck out of him. I'm not even thinking about him. So that's that game.
Next week,
yeah.
No, I wanted to say this earlier. Interesting little factoid I noticed. Every team that's playing on Thanksgiving Day lost in Week 11.
All six of them?
All six teams. Yep.
No.
Every team is coming off a loss.
And not all of them equally bad. So the Cowboys understandably lose to Kansas City. Looked dreadful doing it. And who did the Raiders play last week?
Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll have that. But we got Raiders, you can't Cowboys.
Give Dallas shit and not give the Raiders shit for losing at home.
They lost at home
by
to a team points. That is more to their competition level. So we got Cowboys, Raiders. No CD. No Amari Cooper. Is Cedric Wilson an automatic DFS play, and will it be chalky, Eric?
It'll definitely be chalky because he's only 3,500. Everybody's going to go to him if you really want to get cute. A lot of people are going to use Gallup because even he's cheap. He's 5,900. I mean, Malik Turner, if you really want to get Noah Brown, if you really want to get you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Get a little risque.
Would you rather play one of those wide receivers or go with Dalton Schultz?
That's a good question.
Very good.
That's a good question. You
know, throw him in your flex, because I'm assuming that we can all agree that you're probably going to put Waller.
Oh, Waller's a lock.
As your tight end.
Waller's a lock. Like, he might be my stone cold lock of the week.
Because I would, for me, I'm debating between Schultz and Knox in my flex spot. Because of the situation with wide receivers, I'm probably going to take, you know, Diggs is a lock for me, Renfro, and then probably Mooney will be my three wide receivers.
This actually, so like, just kind of glancing over a lot of this actually might be a week where I flex a running back, potentially. Just could be some good values. I mean, like I said, I still like Pollard. Even if Zeke is healthy with how banged up Dallas is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And no Tyron Smith is, first things first, I am really not looking forward to, but these games are horrible this year. Like, the Lions game sucks. This game's going to fucking suck. You got a team that just, Dallas does not look like they're in sync right now. The Raiders are fucking collapsing, just staying true to form. And then, like, it's just the Sunday night, the Thursday night game, actually. The Bills and the Saints, like, meh. Not really. I don't know. Like, I don't know. There's honestly a good chance I only watch the Dallas game Thursday. Straight up. I don't really have any interest in watching the Lions game. I don't. I don't know. And side note, back to whatever the fuck I was saying, because I totally forgot what I was saying. But no, so with Tyron Smith being out, like, the Raiders can generate a pass rush. Like, that's what scares me. Like, they can get to Dak. Crosby's an animal. And I actually believe the Raiders have a pretty good pass rush. If you actually look at their pass rush rating, they're like top five, believe it or not. That scares me, but that also tells me, well, they might have to get some quick passes out, which would tell me maybe Tony Pollard, get the ball in his hands, like we've said, let him get in space, let him show his elusiveness and make plays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The more I think about it, like, Pollard is almost becoming like a must play for me this Thursday. It's I don't know. Cedric Wilson I like too, don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to go crazy on him. And he's a cheap wide receiver, so I am totally fine fading him if you find somebody else in that price range that you'd rather play. Because he's kind of a slot guy. He's not going to – he does get some red zone targets, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. Does Malik Turner have just as good of a chance of hitting as him?
It's debatable.
Yeah, I mean, I would trust Cedric Wilson more, but I don't know. This game's like, I don't know. I don't have a good feeling for it. I really don't. As far as the Raiders go, it's Waller. Yeah. A little bit of Renfro, maybe.
Yeah.
That's it. Oop. Maybe if I'm getting cute. I don't know, man. You know what? Josh Jacobs. Maybe.
Yeah?
I thought about it, too, but maybe. I'd rather start Pollard.
I would, too, same. But you can run on Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Jacobs is interesting, man. A lot of people ain't going to use him, I don't think.
No, he's 5,900, so.
Yeah. He's interesting.
So the last game of Thanksgiving will be Bills-Saints. Obviously, we got the relevant players of Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, one of the running backs, I'm sure. Cole Beasley's been hot lately. On the Saints, we got, I don't fucking know.
I mean, Simeon's been putting up fantasy points.
Yeah. No, you know? Yeah, he hasn't been bad. And, you know, on the field, he's looked pretty dreadful. But
Mark Ingram, if you're in a pinch.
A la Jalen Hurts, he's been just fine in fantasy.
Yeah. The only thing I hate with Ingram is he's getting up there now.
Like, but I don't know if I'd play him against Buffalo.
And, like, dude, like, I'm not playing Ingram over David Montgomery.
No. No, there's better options at running back that are, like, inexpensive.
Montgomery's mm-hmm. cheaper.
He is $200 cheaper.
Yeah. So.
And does Kamara play? You know what I mean? Like, that's the $1 million question, I feel like.
That's the biggest one. And that's why, like, so I'm sitting here, and I, as you guys were talking, I was making my lineup, and I had Tony Jones in there, and I'm like, what if Kamara plays? And even if he doesn't play, what are the realistic chances he gets play over Mark Ingram? I'm like, I don't know. I'm talking myself out of it, like I always do. But
he's going to get time if Kamara doesn't play. But if Kamara plays, then you almost have to try to find a way to fit Kamara into your lineup, I think.
Yeah, so I'm still not going to do Kamara just because he's too expensive for me. I usually go with cheaper guys. I try not to spend up too much. And I already have. So, I mean, let's just do it, right? So I'm doing my lineup. I have Josh Allen, which I stacked with Stephon Diggs. I got Tony Pollard, Dave Montgomery, Cedric Wilson. And now I'm trying to find other wide receivers. I don't want to do Emmanuel Sanders because I already have Stephon Diggs. I'm still thinking about Khalif Raymond, who's not cheap enough.
Renfro's in that range at 56.
Yeah, 56 is kind of more than I can spend right now. Because I paid up for Allen, Monty, and
go Diggs. Down to take Bryan Edwards. this could be the week.
Yeah, no,
fuck
thank you.
That.
You know, I mean, that's what he
I'm
is.
Thinking, he's a I'm thinking fucking... I might take the flyer on Amon-Ra St. Brown at 42.
Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna do that. And then the tight end. I'm going to go with Schultz and save $1,000 off of Waller, who, you know, obviously, I mean, like, Waller's talent is undeniable. But to say he's been hit and miss this year would be an understatement. So I'm not willing to spend up $1,000 for Waller. And, you know, the flex is dicey, so I usually just go to pick my defense first. I'll take the Bears for $3,000. And so
I'm perfectly fine with the Raiders. If you really want to punt defense, like, they're the cheapest on the slate. Like I said, they could get the Dak. It's possible.
They could, but I think there's too much going on in the run game. I don't think they're not going to have a good day. I'm going to say it out loud. They're not going to have a good day.
You only think I have a good day?
Nope.
They already are going into the game not having to worry about CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper.
It don't matter. There's too much going on in the
Tyron game. Smith.
That pass rush is not going to have a good day.
What, the Raiders?
Yeah.
They go into the best pass rush in the league.
Yeah, they're not going to have a good day.
Okay, I don't get the logic, but...
I think there's too much going on in the run game.
Too much so they're just going to run the ball the whole time?
I'm not saying they're going to run the ball the whole time, but it gives the part of the advantage of having a run game is that it gives pass rushers pause. Rushers.
Yes, I get that. I don't know. I
what's
think
the over under? Yeah. Let's make a beer bet. What's the over under? How many sacks?
Sacks? I think the Raiders will get. Want to do 3.5?
3.5? That's a fucking good day now?
That's a pretty good day.
Every defense gets 3 fucking sacks. Are you serious?
Fine. Fuck it.
I thought we wanted to talk money here, Eric.
What do you said it then?
6.5. Things?
6.5. 7 sacks?
He sets it at 4.
What the fuck? You know, teams get 7 sacks?
Are they going to have a good day or not?
I'm not taking 7 sacks.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to nail for sure. What is the average? I don't even know.
So they've been averaging. The Raiders have been averaging about 3 sacks a game. They had none against Kansas City, but they've had 3 most games. They had a 5 sack game against Denver, a few 2s mixed in there. So right around a 3 average for them. So 3, and I would go with 3.5.
Yeah, the best team in the league averages 3.1 sacks a game.
Anyways, so back to my DFS. I do still have enough money. So I have enough money to put Darren Waller on my flex. And I mean, it would almost tap me, but now, so I'm going to do this instead. How about this? I'm going to put Darren Waller in my tight end spot, and that leaves me enough money for Hunter Renfro, Dalton Schultz, TJ Hockenson, Allen Robinson, Marcus Callaway. Any of those names calling out to you?
Yeah, I'd probably try to ride with Hawk.
You like Hockenson against... Chicago more than Schultz against Vegas?
Hockenson.
I mean, if I'm going to play a tight end, I'm going to play Schultz.
Schultz has a better matchup. And with Lamb and Cooper out, he should get more looks, I would think. But
so that's kind of what I'm thinking, too, is with the wide receivers out, I would think Schultz would get a little bit of a better target share.
I thought the same thing would have been true this week. And I was vastly incorrect.
Oh, does Schultz have a bad week?
Yeah. Everybody on Dallas.
He had 11 points.
He had 11 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I expected him to have like 20.
It's Dalton Schultz. It's entered. It's done. It's over.
Ladies and gentlemen, preview to next week's injury report. Brian Moran picks Dalton Schultz. He will break something and be out of your lineup.
For the record, because I know that got a little crazy in there. QB, Josh Allen. RB, David Montgomery, Tony Pollard. Wide receivers are Diggs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Cedric Wilson, Tight end, Darren Waller. Flex, Dalton Schultz. Defense, Bears. Do you guys see any glaring... I'll ask Eric. Do you see any glaring holes with that, Eric?
I like it.
And that's the DFS degenerate talking. Yeah, I already fucking won. I feel bad for these chumps I'm playing against.
I got an interesting tight end right here. Interesting. Very interesting.
Ooh.
Cole Kmet.
I don't mind Cole Kmet.
No. With Dalton, I don't mind him.
With Dalton? I mean, no Allen Robinson. Like, I feel like just looking at their, like, wide receiver depth chart for Chicago, like, kind of a lot of, like, Darnell Mooney, Marquise Goodwin, fucking, what's this motherfucker's name? Demir Bird. This guy's on the scene. Kadero Hodge. Fuck, I've heard that name before.
But Daz like, Newsome.
There's a lot of, like, there were a lot of, like, deep threat guys, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe Kmet gets that middle of the field, that short A dot work, potentially? I don't know.
And I mean, that's
interesting.
You know, before the bye, the last few weeks before the bye, Kmet was showing signs of life. So I think Kmet's an interesting prospect, like you said. I don't know if I have the balls to play him, but it's definitely interesting, for sure. And, I mean, where would you rank him? Is he a guy you really want to put in because you think he could avoid the chalk and is only $3,700? Or is he just somebody you're kind of interested and want to talk about?
I think the spot is interesting, and I can see like a scenario where he actually ends up maybe producing well. And now I'm not saying he's going to have a better game than Darren Waller because I don't expect that. But I think
but will he have a better game than Dalton Schultz?
Maybe. I could see him having a better game than Hawkinson. I think it's on the table. I don't think he will, but there's a chance, and I think there's a better chance that he outscores them too. Then obviously. Waller's my guy that I'm playing majority of my lineups, but I will have some Kmet. Kmet might be, just judging off this, he might be the second most owned tight end I have on the slate. And it's not even really about the savings because just from fooling around with this a little bit, I can almost do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to there's not extent. That many good players playing.
Yeah, to an extent, like, it'd be tough to jam in like Diggs, Kamara, Swift. And fucking, you know what I mean? Like, and Josh Allen, like, that would be hard. But no, you can almost pick, like, four expensive guys and be like, all right, I'm going with this. Like, all right, I'm going with Josh Allen. I'm going with Diggs. I'm going with Swift. And I'm going to go with fucking, I don't know, whoever the hell else you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could put Darren Waller on the flex, and I still got $4,000. Play Brian Edwards, I can play Goodwin, I can play Gabe Davis, I can play Cedric Wilson. Like, I hate the cheap wide receiver fucking lottery, dude.
I just adjusted my lineup. Because you said Swift, and I was like, oh, I want him.
Yeah. I ended up with, I've got Carr, Montgomery, Pollard, Manny Sanders, Mooney, Renfro, Waller, Swift, and the Raiders defense. I saw $300 left over.
Yeah. I got mine down to zero, but now my running backs are DeAndre Swift and David Montgomery, and in my flex, instead of Dalton Schultz, I have Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that because I think the upgrade at running back is better than the downgrade at flex, potential downgrade at flex, because Cole Beasley has been really good.
He's been getting targets, yeah. No, he's been getting targets. That's why I'm putting Manny in, because he's been getting targets too.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course he has. He's the best wide receiver in NFL history, you fucking idiot. Of course he's been getting targets. Jesus. Hall of Fame bound.
Really? In Taunton?
What about Taunton? I wish he lived in Taunton.
The Hall of Fame in Taunton?
I'd mow his lawn for free.
Hall of Fame.
Emmanuel Sanders is going to the Hall of Fame. Team. He's going to the Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. All right. I'll put his jersey up on my wall. Just look at it every time and think, Brian, you can be great too. You know?
Sure.
Eric, did you have a lineup you wanted to run us through real quick?
I didn't really set a hard lineup yet.
No, I know you like to wait.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I touched on a few guys that I definitely see myself liking in this spot. I like David Montgomery at 6,000. It's a good matchup. It's a game that I think Chicago is going to win, which should be a positive game script for a running back. Pretty sure Montgomery, he had a horrible fucking week 11. Let's not sugarcoat it, but I think he's kind of slipped right into that workhorse role again. Mm-hmm. It seems like. So he's getting the snaps. Hopefully he gets the volume as well. He only had 15 touches total, I think. I think he had 14 attempts and like one catch. Yeah, he didn't. He did not have a great week 11.
No, but he did play 95% of the snaps.
Yeah, he's right back to where he was. So like he's the dog, and you get a dog running back for 6,000. Like, just it's hard to pass up in a positive matchup. I've liked Tony Pollard. Stephon Diggs is almost a lock to me to an extent. I'm not gonna be overweight on him, but like outside of big wide receivers, like he's the only one, dude.
Yeah,
like the next guy is Michael Gallup. As far as salary goes, that's fucking gross.
So let me say this out loud, because I never thought I would. I think the Lions are going to win that game.
Nah, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
I think so. Do we got a beer bet?
I'll beer bet it, because Detroit sucks.
DFS 101. Give me another try. We got a beer bet. Wrong button. I hit the DFS 101 like I was schooling myself, like Eric schooled me. Like, you don't want to take the Lions. That's DFS 101.
Yeah, like Detroit. Like, so real quick, like down at the wide receiver position.
Let me hedge my bet. I'm sorry. I meant to say this before we made the bet. If Jared Goff plays.
All right.
I ain't betting on fucking Tim Boyle.
Yeah, that's fine. And don't use Tim Boyle if Tim Boyle's a starting.
No, God, no.
Don't take Tim Boyle.
Absolutely. Leave the position blank.
There's no reason. Like, I have a line. Like, I'm kind of like, you got a half-ass lineup with Josh Allen in it, and he's the most expensive quarterback in here. And it's not terrible. Like, I still got Montgomery. I still got Waller.
Yeah.
And I still got Diggs. Like,
it's $3,400 more. Like, it's not crazy for quarterbacks. Like, you know, like Tim Boyle, why the fuck would you?
It's not as big. Like, this was like an 11 game slate. There'd be way more players on it, so you can make more of an argument for like saving that much money. But you don't like this is, you don't need to get crazy with this 3-game slate. I can definitely tell you that right now. You can pretty much, like I said, you can basically play whoever you want. Like, as long as you're not but grabbing every single top end guy, you're not gonna be able to do that. Wide receivers, like I'm all set with Detroit wide receivers. Mooney, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm kind of eyeballing Buffalo wide receivers. Seem interesting to me. I ain't gonna lie. Mm-hmm. And Cedric Wilson is tough to pass up for that $3,500 price tag. Like I said, it's a cheap wide receiver. I'm not gonna probably overexpose myself to him. I will be a fool and play some Malik Turner and some fucking Noah Brown just because I'm an idiot and they're $3,000 and Waller's my tight end. Defense, whatever. Raiders and the Bears, that's who I'm using. Like, that's it. I'm playing them two defenses and I'm living with it.
Yeah. No, I definitely hear that for sure. Steven, do you want to run us down your lineup real quick?
So I took Derek Carr at 5,900, Montgomery at 6,000, Pollard at 5,600, and then I went with Mooney at 57, Renfrow at 56, Manny Sanders at 48, Waller's my tight end at 64, and then I was able to fit Swift into my flex at 73, and I took the Raiders.
I like it.
Very nice.
So I'll have
a stack. I'll probably have another
Renfrow with Carr. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll probably do another 10 or so lineups. So I'll get some Diggs. I'll probably have to take Cedric Wilson to be able to fit Diggs in.
Oh, I'm going.
Decent running backs, but
I ain't going to lie to you. I'm going to go heavy Thursday.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've gone heavy.
I went heavy last week, and too many injuries in the middle of the fucking game screwed me over.
Yeah.
Lamb with the concussion.
Eric's heavy is not the same as your heavy, sir.
Like, I'm talking like 500, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel all right.
Steve plays the quarter games. He's like, yeah, I got 10 bucks in this weekend.
10? Fuck. I spent $1 last week. I thought it was... My FanDuel is... Or, I mean, my DraftKings balance is down to like $3. I'm going to have to reload. Yeah, I still got a savings bond to cash in from fucking...
Three games when I
graduated high school.
Wednesday night, I'll play with that optimizer that I have and
yeah,
kind of go from there and just pump in a lot of lineups and cross my fingers.
Yep, I like it. So I think that's pretty much going to wrap the episode. Did you guys have anything else you want to say to the listeners?
So there are 3 Thursday night games. Can't say this more importantly than this week. We've been saying it all season. Put your Thursday guys in the main spots of your lineup. Don't leave them in the flex spots because you may need those spots to pivot to on Sunday.
And it's funny, dude, because it never ceases to amaze me. Like, well, he's the better player, so he's my running back, and the other running back isn't as good as him, so he's in my flex. It's like, what fucking difference does it make?
Yeah.
The points are the same. Like, don't be stupid. Put the early starters in the main spots and leave the flexes open in case you need to flex. It's not that hard. Like, what, is he going to be insulted? You didn't put it in the starting lineup? Like,
right? The Saints and the Bills are going to be the late game, so maybe you got Diggs. Put Diggs in your flex. Don't put him in your wide receiver spot. Leave that shit open. You know, because you can late. This is a thing I didn't bring up last time, but you can late swap in DraftKings. I always forget about it. Sometimes I do remember it, but like, maybe your lineup's just doing horrible, and you're just like, what? Everybody and their mother's using Diggs, so you just might have to shoot for the moon. It's more of a tournament play. And maybe you're like, well, fuck it. Nobody's using Gabe Davis. He's going to be way less on their own. I'm just going to cross my fingers that he has a big game. You know, or vice versa. You're doing better than you thought, so you late swap onto a chalky guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, same thing with building the DFS lineups. Always put the latest starting game player in your flex, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty much
happy Thanksgiving, bitches.
And that will wrap the episode. Happy Thanksgiving, bitches.
No, it ain't. I got a Thanksgiving question. What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Stuffing. Not even fucking close.
Turkey.
I'm making 2 turkeys and 0 stuffing this year. How fucked up is that?
And that's your favorite. So
I know, because my father-in-law is making the stuffing. My father-in-law is making the stuffing, but they've never heard of seasoning.
Yeah.
So it tastes like the inside of a mattress, but I am making 2 turkeys and no stuffing. It's ridiculous. But Eric, what is your favorite?
Canned cranberry sauce.
Bro, impossible to find right now. Have you looked?
No.
Bro, I found one can hidden in another aisle that somebody like discarded. Like, oh, I don't need this last one. And they threw it in the aisle. But my wife went to Shaw's, Stop and Shop, Target, Walmart. There's none left, bro.
No. Stop it.
I swear to God.
I think I still got a can of it. But we usually get 3 cans because I'm usually responsible for eating one on my own. I don't know what it is with that. Dude, I could just eat it all day. I can't explain it.
I'm not a huge fan. Like, I like it, but I'm not a huge fan. It's too bitter.
It's like cranberry jello.
It's good. It's good. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I have it, but it's not my main thing, you know? Yeah. Clearly, you are a much bigger fan. But yeah, no, I found the one can. I'm like, we need more than one. My brother and his wife's coming over. My brother-in-law and his wife's coming over. My in-laws are coming over. I'm like, well, we need more than one can. Like, this is a lot of fucking people. And my wife's been looking everywhere, cannot find it.
I can sell you a couple cans.
How many
every year, my mother, she makes baked stuffed shrimp. And honestly, I look forward to that more than the turkey.
Yes.
Like,
turkey is so overrated.
I'm like, the turkey.
Not a big turkey guy.
I don't give a fuck about the turkey.
I love turkey.
Where's the shrimp? I'm rubbing my hands. Come on. Doesn't take that long to bake.
Turkey's pretty good. Like, I'm not, like, I don't not eat the turkey, but I don't look forward to the turkey. It's just turkey. Oh. It's just turkey all the time. And, but yeah, I'm going to smoke a turkey. Yep. I'm doing one on the smoker and I'm doing a deep fried turkey.
Yeah.
Because I've never actually smoked a turkey before, so I'm worried it'll come out like shit. So I'm deep frying one because it feels like the safe option. That's my safety school.
Yeah. if you're doing a whole turkey or you're just doing like a breast?
Whole turkey.
If you spatchcock it and flatten it out, it'll come out nice.
Yeah. I know it cooks more even, but.
That's enough fucking Thanksgiving talk.
Yeah. No, it was a good addition, though.
It just hit me. I said, hey, what's your favorite dish?
Yeah.
My least favorite dish is turnips. Junk. Oh,
no, dude. You mix turnips with carrots with a little bit of salt and pepper. I'm telling you, that shit is fucking gold. It's one of my favorite sides. I love it. You wouldn't think, because I'm not a big carrot guy. I'm not a big turnip guy. But for some reason, dude, those two get together and it is magic.
No, thank you.
You
I don't like yams either, so.
I don't think I've ever had yams.
Yeah, yams are gross.
They sound gross.
Well, they're kind of similar to turnips, but.
Basically the same. Yeah, I was going to say that. Basically the same thing.
I've had turnips without carrots, and they're fucking gross. I'm telling you. Those two things get together, and it makes magic. I'm telling you. Eric, I'll bring some to work. I'll make a believer out of you. Just a little bit. Just a little spoonful. I'll even do the little airplane noises when I feed it to you. So that's pretty much going to wrap the episode. So obviously, happy Thanksgiving. Obviously, thank you for listening to this episode. We're still kind of debating internally whether or not this episode will come out Wednesday or Thursday. But either way, happy Thanksgiving. And if you're listening to this while you're preparing your Thanksgiving meal, like I'm sure I will be listening to it while I prepare my Thanksgiving meal. Like I said, I am hosting this year. I got a lot to do. And when I'm in the kitchen, I love having my earbuds in listening, and hopefully you do too. And happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening. We love you guys. Don't forget to get entered in the giveaway.
Drawing's Friday.
Yeah, drawing is Friday. If you sign up for our Patreon, you could win a full-sized Lawrence Taylor helmet. This thing is a beautiful metallic blue Giants rep, autographed in white ink. Fucking gorgeous. I mean, Lawrence Taylor is one of the best players in NFL history. Easily one of the best players in NFL history. And I never even watched him play. I think he was retired before I was born. But I've watched enough Lawrence Taylor to know he's one of the best. And I own a Lawrence Taylor helmet, and I am proud of my Lawrence Taylor helmet. You guys can be too. All you have to do is go to our website, daydreamingdegenerates.com, sign up for our Patreon. Sign up at the $5 tier, one entry, $10 tier, two entries, $15 tier, three entries. You guys get the point. And we're also giving away the DFS cash from Who Wants to Be a Fantasy Millionaire. $120 for DK in your name. It's all yours. And a free entry to the Lawrence Taylor helmet. So we'll be doing that first. If you win that, you get an additional entry to the Lawrence Taylor helmet, as well as our participants get an additional entry as well. They were our phone of friends, in case you missed the episode. So a lot of opportunity to win this helmet, a lot of opportunity to win $120 in DK cash to gamble. Hopefully, I don't think they call it gambling, but I call it gambling. I don't know if I just made a mistake. Hopefully you can turn that into millions. And then, you know, obviously we'll be super proud of you. We'll want you to be on the show and tell us all about it. But don't forget to get signed up. Obviously, this is getting given away. Somebody's going to win it. And we hope that whoever does win it enjoys it. And, you know, we've gained more subscribers over the last couple of months. Obviously, that's been greatly appreciated. Those of you that listen that can't help out on the Patreon, we get it. None of us are millionaires either. And but for those that can afford to help and decide to do that, obviously, we love you guys. Thank you so much. And We really, really appreciate it. So that's why we do stuff like this, to give away a helmet and DK cash and all that kind of stuff, because we just want to give back. And thank you guys so much for participating. That's pretty much going to wrap up this episode. We hope you enjoy your turkey day. Don't forget to mix your carrots and your turnips. I'm telling you, you mash it just like potatoes, a little bit of salt and pepper, a little bit of butter. You will thank me later. I guarantee it. Hopefully you can find some canned cranberry sauce. Love your turkey. Eat your stuffing. Watch your football. Have a great holiday weekend, guys.